Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place, Love Connection, Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us today. Please join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we come to be your Bible study in which you can come and bless the Lord. We're going to have devotion tonight. We're going to have a song from, I guess we can have a song from Dion Goff. We can have, unless if somebody wanted to volunteer to sing a song tonight, then we can have scripture. Dr. Nooks, or would you read the scripture from tonight, Isaiah, the 14th chapter, I'm sorry, 43rd chapter, the 14th through the 21st verse. And is there anybody who would volunteer to pray with us tonight? Then I will pray. All right.
Well,
we got
James.
A song.
I can sing a song if you'd like.
Okay. That would be fine if you'd like.
It's a little song that's kind of popular now. It's a song about worth. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To the one that sets me free. You thought I was worth saving.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Nooks.
And our scripture is from Isaiah 43, verses 14 through 21. The Lord set his people free. He is the Holy One of Israel. He says, "People of Israel, I will send an army to Babylon to save you. I will cause all of the Babylonians to run away. They will try to escape in the ships they were so proud of. I am your Lord and King. I am your Holy One. I created you. Long ago the Lord opened a way for his people to go through the Red Sea. He made a path through the mighty waters. He gave Egypt to send out its chariots and horses. He sent his entire army to its death. Its soldiers lay down there. They never got up again. They were destroyed. They were blown out like a dimly burning candle. But the Lord says, forget the things that happened in the past. Do not keep on thinking about them. I am about to do something new. It is beginning to happen even now. Don't you see it coming? I am going to make a way for you to go through the desert. I will make streams of water in the dry and empty land. Even wild dogs and owls honor me. This is because I provide water in the desert for my people to drink. I cause streams to flow in the dry and empty land for my chosen ones, I do it for the people I made for myself. I want them to sing praise to me.
Amen. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me and come before the, as we go before the Lord in prayer? God, we come before you and we just want to say thank you. You know, thank you for getting us this far on our journey. Thank you for the fact that you saw fit to give us new life, new opportunities, so that we could come before you and give you praise. Forgive us for our shortcomings, O God, for we fall short before you every day, and we know that your grace is sufficient. Lead, God, and direct us to do your will so that we can be your people and to follow your path. Lord, as we come before you this evening, we come seeking knowledge to sit at your feet, to understand what it means to rejuvenate hope, O God. Rejuvenate hope in the form of understanding who you are and your sovereignty, the fact that you're in control, and you've requested that we look back and remember. King, O God, that you help us even in the midst of the scripture that tells us to look forward and forget. And then, Lord, you even tell us to look out and behold, that you want to do a new thing in our lives, and you want us to be right in relationship with you in order to be able to rejuvenate that hope, to renew and refresh ourselves. But tonight, Lord, we want to, once we've done all those things, to praise, to honor you for who you are, God all by yourself. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We are coming tonight to, as I said in the prayer, to discuss rejuvenating hope and how God has called us to know that the best is yet to come. And as we've gone through the last 4 weeks, this is our very last week in dealing with this topic. And the end of this scripture text. And we want to understand that God has been good. And I thank all of those of you who've been showing up and being present, because this ministry is just, it's not Dr. Susie's ministry. This ministry is our ministry. Each and every person who gets on the line, we understand that we're sharing to our brothers and sisters across the world. And because of that, we ask that God would use us in our dialogue to either speak what someone else might be thinking or questioning, or to lift up an idea, or to share something that God puts on our heart, so that we can also bring our brothers and sisters along in understanding as they listen. So tonight, we're going to deal with the issue of praising and honoring God for who God is. I guess I want to start by asking this question. What is praise to you? What does it mean to praise God? What does that mean to you? So, what is praise? Everybody don't jump in at one time.
Well, let's just James. Press.
Okay,
go ahead, James.
No, no, you go ahead.
Oh, it's just uplifting and identifying that God is doing great things in our life, just like when your mate uplifts you and tells you how much they love you and stuff. That's giving you praise. That's what it means.
Yeah, this is James. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Dr. Nix, what does it mean to you? I mean, it means different things to different people. What does it mean to you?
I agree with what Brett said there. It means to me emptying of self and elevating of God. It means recognizing God's power and authority and being grateful for that. It's
amen.
It's saying that God is able. It's saying that we love God. That is, there's a reverence for God. It's And it's giving all that we have in honoring God. It's, we can praise God through singing and prayer, dancing, shouting. Some people speak in tongues. It's, we can praise God in our work, in our ministries. But it's an emptying of self and an elevating of God through that whole process.
Amen.
Amen. Is there anybody else who wants to share what praise means to you?
And this is Jane. I wanted to
okay.
add something to that. When you praise God, it has an effect on you. When you really praise God, because we can play praise, but when you, you know, and we can act like everybody else in praising, even in your singing, when you're praising God, it's different. It elevates you. It's like God elevates you because you reduce yourself. It creates a feeling, a presence of the Holy Spirit when you praise God in your life. It can bring tears. It can bring laughter.
Yeah.
It affects you. It's not just
all right.
Like I'm singing a song like I heard on the radio or that I read some music for. It's singing that song in a different way. It's saying, God, this is all of me. I'm giving all of me because you deserve all of me and more. And it affects you. It changes you when you praise God.
Amen. 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 Can we do a roll call tonight and make sure I get everybody on the line so when I start calling names, can we do a roll call? I heard
Brett.
James and Brett. Anybody else on the line?
Cassandra.
Hi, Cassandra. Nice to see you and hear from you.
I just remembered. Turned it on.
Awesome. This is your team. Okay, Paul, I hear you there.
Yes, I'm here.
Are you there?
Yes,
and
I'm here.
Jamie, are you there? Okay, Jamie, are you there? Okay. Is there somebody else here that would like to join us tonight? There's a 682 number there. Well, we're glad that you joined with us. And if you feel like talking, you're more than welcome. If not, you don't have to. Anybody else who's on the line, there's two or three more of folks on the line. Just want to let you know that you're more than welcome. Anytime you choose to get involved, and just make sure that you're on mute when you talk and you have background noise or somebody else is in the room talking with you, because we can hear that on the radio and it disturbs the conversation. So put that on mute, and then when you want to talk, to make sure you unmute it, because we can't hear you if you forget. Just want to let you know that, you know, we come with all kinds of different ideas and different people have different perspectives of theology, but we are really here to be stretched and to try to be a part of the family of God and listen to other people in their perspective. So we're so excited to be here tonight sharing the word of God and trying to hear the word that God has for us tonight about praise. So, Brother Lester, are you there? Okay. So we were talking about the idea of praise. Brother Paul, did you want to give us your impact, what you perceive for you praise is?
Okay. Praise. Giving God all that he's due, that you have to give. And he knows what you have.
Mm-hmm.
So don't give him part of it. When you praise God, you got to give him all you got, because he's due all you got. And that's
Amen.
In good times and bad times, because even in the bad times, God is always there and he deserves praise.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, this is Dr. Susie. And, you know, we've been talking about how the scripture is telling us in this book of Isaiah 43 that God wants us to do all these things. But finally he says, I made them my own nation so that they would praise me. So we're to look up and give God praise because it's our duty to show forth God's praise, not only with our lips, but with our lives, by giving up ourselves in God's service, doing all these things because of who God is, because God formed us, God feeds us, God keeps us, God leads us, God directs us, all of this for God's self, just because God loves us and wants to be in an intimate relationship with us. And so for me, the word praise comes from the Latin word meaning value or price. So when we praise God through worship or prayer or any of the other means of praise, we're proclaiming to ourselves and to God and to those around us just how much we value that relationship with God. So to me, that's important for us to say, and it's important, I think, for God to hear it. So, you know, that's why I encourage us to praise God. So we've kind of given some ideas on what we perceive is the definition of praise. So as we go through this tonight, I want to ask the question. So we talked about what praise means. So I've given all those scriptures out for those of you who are here. Use those scriptures because they're all scriptures of praise. So I just ask any of you who want to pick a text. We've got Isaiah 42:10-13, 43:5-6, Hebrews 13:1, Psalms 22:3, Psalms 107:8, Psalms 27:7. Whoever would like to pick a scripture and then elaborate about praising God, because that's what this is about tonight, our understanding of what it means to praise God. So if you'd like to start off by saying, why do you think we should praise God, and then to read a scripture and share what that means to you, or if you have your own scripture that you wanted to share of praising God, then that works as well. Because tonight what we're really trying to put forth is the understanding that the Bible expresses that God has created us to praise the Lord. And the scripture tells us that God desires that we recognize everything that God does for us, and that he says that we would give him praise because he says, I made them my own nation. It's the thing that God has done for us to be our God, for us to be God's people. And he did this so that we would do what? Praise him.
Praise him.
So, yeah. Amen. Amen. So, can somebody grab a scripture that they have and that I've given you out on the lines and talk about what that scripture means to you and why we should praise God? Are you looking for something? I want to say this. I remember when I was in high school and I went to Booker T. And I remember we had a decision, and we were at the last high school game of the season. We were playing. I don't remember the school we were playing against, but I remember Jeffrey Lissenby was a quarterback, and it was the fourth quarter. There was a 70-yard conversion at the end, right, for a touchdown. And you know, when something that drastic happens, what is everybody doing? What are they doing? Everybody on my team, what are they doing?
Celebrating, jumping up and down.
They're screaming. They're jumping up and down, going crazy.
Yeah.
They're actually going wild, right? Everybody's going crazy. It was that way when Emmitt Smith went out and the Dallas Cowboys, my buddies. Okay, I'm not saying nothing to you, Mr. Carter, about your Steelers, so I'm going to be quiet. But anyway, it's, you know, we get wild and excited about our team. Sometimes we even get fanatical, don't we?
Amen.
Don't we? We
yeah.
get fanatical about it.
Yeah.
But the question is, wouldn't it be awesome if we could get that as excited about God as we do about the football?
Right. Basketball. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
No amen corners tonight. Okay, that's all right.
Or those in Cleveland,
you know,
the Cavaliers.
There you go.
The Cavaliers. Yeah. Or Ohio State.
Yes.
Columbus. Yeah.
That's right. And Ohio will shut down church to go and watch the game. So when they get excited, they will be praising, jumping up and down, shouting. My question is, why can't we do that for God? Any responses? Any feedback?
This is James. I was just going to say about, just comment on the statement that God says he made the people for himself, made them his people. And I think sometimes we don't understand that we are God's people. And that we are really a part of God. And I think it's hard for us to praise God when we don't realize that we are God's people. And I think to some people it's like God is off at a distance somewhere and like we're not really connected. But if you understand that we're connected to God and God in us and we're a part of God, then it causes a different response in praise. Like, if you understand that God that made the universe, that made all the stars and all the planets, all the air that we breathe, made the rivers and all the animals and the plant life, and is greater than we can ever imagine, I think we limit God. But if we understand that we're a part of that, God, and then God goes so far as to like or love somebody like me.
Amen.
It ought to cause some praise, because when you look at your life, when I look at my life, I don't deserve the love that God shows me. And so
Amen.
I'm excited about the fact that God loves me because I don't deserve it. And yet he loved me anyhow.
Amen.
So
Amen.
If you understand that we are God's people, and that God died for us, and God continues to provide for us and make a way for us. But if you don't understand that you're God's person, or you that God does all that for you, then it's hard to praise God.
Amen.
God is abstract. And I think God is abstract to many people. Like, we don't realize that God is right here with us right now, and God is making a way right now. And so
right now.
If we can't imagine that God is with us and God is for us, God is here, then it's hard for us to praise God.
Dr. Nitz, you just triggered something for me. It's because, you know, many times we talk about Jesus is our brother, Jesus is our friend. Some people use the name in vain. Some people curse and use his name. And I was reading this scripture right here in Revelation. It just said, it was he who was to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the king of the earth. And it says, look, is verse 7, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye who see him, even those who pierced him, and all the people of the earth will mourn because of him. And then it scoots down to verses 12. It talks about when John was on the Isle of Patmos, what he saw. He says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. When I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. Come on, somebody. It says, when I saw him, I felt as though dead.
Mm-hmm.
Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. Now, somebody tell me, we talk about praising. That's worthy to be praised. When he's the one that can only one who can open the scroll. When he's the one who... that to me is something to make you want to jump up and down and shout, just like you would if you was going to see the Cavalier game, or more so.
Amen.
You fall down
Amen.
Your feet prostrate.
Amen. Amen.
Anybody else? Oh, that
what was that?
About God. Go ahead.
What was that?
What was that scripture you just read from?
From Revelation, the first chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If you read the whole chapter, it'll encompass most of that, really up through like the 19th, 18th verse.
Amen.
So.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Paul, you on the line? You got some feedback about praise?
No, I said mine.
Okay. Pastor Diggs,
but
glad to have you on the line tonight.
I do praise God every day for some reason or another. If you really love God like we say we do, throughout the day, you can't help but praise Him for something. Even if it's some of the most insignificant things, sometime during the day, you acknowledge that it's because of God that you are where you are and you are doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Can't help it. You can't help it. I can't, anyway. I might not run around hollering hallelujah all day long or with a Bible in my hand all day long, but every day for the last 30, 40 years of my life, I realized that I had a reason to praise God. If it was nothing but the reason that I was still breathing.
Amen.
Brother Eric, we hear you on the line. How you doing tonight?
I'm thankful.
Amen. Amen. We're talking about praise tonight.
Yeah. So most people can't praise God like that because they don't believe that God has done all of that for them. But the biggest thing is that they don't have a true relationship with God. They have put God off as someone to be feared, someone to be reverenced, when God has said that He wants to be a friend of yours and He wants to commune with you. And what I always think about that is what He told Moses. And that's when you realize that God is wanting to be that close to you, and you have a true relationship, that you can praise, honor, and glorify Him for who He is without fear of retaliation. And so I see that a lot, that, you know, we just don't believe that God has done all that God has done for us, because, you know, when we're honest with ourselves, we know what we are. We know what we're like. And you've heard me say this a million times, some of us just don't believe that the gift is just that simple to receive.
Amen. And I do think you got a point, Brother Eric. You got a strong point, because when you look at the children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, I mean, time after time, they murmured and complained, and Moses interceded for them, and they murmured and complained, and whether it was water in the desert or food or whether it was, you know, they murmured and complained. He was gone for 40 days, and then they came back, and they had built the golden calf, and they murmured and complained. And so then God got mad, and every time there had to be some restitution, and somebody died. There had to be a clearing up of the sin. And so Moses ultimately struck the rock, and Moses died. Moses didn't make it into the promised land. And so I think sometimes, as you were saying, that people are fearful. But a part of what we learned, even with Moses, God talks about Moses as one of the most honored. No one else approached God and saw God, the glory of God, because God held him in the cleft of the rock so he could see him as he passed by. No one talked to God face to face like that. Moses was the only one. But something happened. And that is, I think, Eric, is our fear that we're going to mess up, because we usually do. And then when we mess up, we're in trouble. But David did it constantly. I'm not dogging out David. But he messed up frequently.
But that's right. But David's response was always, when he came to himself, He confessed what he had done to get back in true relationship. And if you read Psalms 51, that's really what that talks about, is that when I come to myself and confess what I am and get back in relationship, then I've restored that friendship and fellowship with God. God knows that we're going to break that. He knew that when he created mankind. But he made a way for that to be absolved. But you have some work to do upon that. And before, it used to be that there had to be a blood sacrifice. Now you can come to your senses and say, forgive me, repent, do the 180, and work to try not to do it again.
But we still
think that we're going to be punished and banished for that, and so we uphold God, and God should be reverenced, but we uphold God as a punisher of our shortcomings when we should be trying to, from my perspective, look at it as that friend relationship. If you've got a true friend, you may make a mistake and do something wrong. If that's your true friend, they're not going to banish you and just stop hanging around you. They're going to still kind of conversate with you and say, hey, you know, why'd you do that? Let's talk about this, that, and other. They're not going to just abandon you if it's your true friend.
Well, and that's the thing. Sometimes we don't have true friends. But the reality is God said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Go ahead, Dustin.
So there's our true friend.
John 15:9 through 11 says, just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love. In the same way, I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have loved you this. I have told you this so that my joy will be in you. I also want your joy to be complete. Here is my commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than the one who gives his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command.
Amen.
So we are friends. And the song says, I am a friend of God. That's a wonderful song. I am a friend of God. And if you just have that concept, you know, just like Brother Eric is talking there about, God wants to do for us. God loves us. And it's not that God wants us to, he talks about servants. And we have so many people that want people to bow down to them, but Jesus is saying, I am your friend. And love each other just as I have loved you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, this is Eric. I'm not going to read all of Psalms 51, but I'm going to read starting at 16. You would not be pleased with sacrifices, or I bring them. If I brought you burnt offerings, you would not accept it. The sacrifice you want is a broken spirit, a broken and repentant heart. Oh God, you will not despise. Look with favor on Zion to help her rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And so God knows before we do what we going to do, what we going to say, how bad it's going to be.
Of course.
And yet all he ever says to us really is, okay, just like James read, abide in my commandments. You're not going to be able to keep all of them. Because here's what a lot of people may or may not know is that, do you realize that really when God gave the commandments to Moses, we talk about 10, but there was 631 when it was all said and done. Of thou shalt and thou shalt not. There really was 631. And there was no way that you were going to keep those, because if you broke one, you broke them all.
There you go.
And what did Jesus tell us? That there were two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, strength, and soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself.
Amen.
And so if we remember that, yet we're going to make those mistakes, but we still have an opportunity to have a true relationship with God, and the relationship that we want to have depends on us. And I choose to have a friend relationship with God, understanding God's position.
Amen.
Amen. I want to bring Isaiah 42:10. It says, starting at verse 10 through 13, it says, "Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them, let the desert and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands. The Lord will march out like a mighty man, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies." What is it saying? What is it saying about praising? What is it saying? Anybody? This is talking about how God wants us to praise the Lord. If you're talking, you have to get off mute. God wants us to praise the Lord. He wants us to understand that these are the things that God is wanting from us. God wants our praise. God wants our songs. God wants us to understand and be excited about God for that which God has done for us. That's why he keeps saying in 43, he says, "The folks that I have chosen for me, praise."
Amen.
From the folks
Amen.
That I have chosen for me, my folks, people that are mine, people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. And so when we look at these scriptures, they're talking about praise. Let's look at Hebrews 13:1. It's a short one. Eric, can you get that? And Dr. Nooks, can you get Psalms 22:3? Paul, can you get Psalms 107:8? If you can, I'll get it. So, Dr. Nooks or Eric, would you read yours?
Hebrews 13:1.
Or if you want to read more of it, you can. Dr. Nooks, if you'd have Psalm 22:3 and read the context, and I'll read Psalms. Do you have a book, Rick?
Yes, I got my tablet.
Could you get Psalms 107:8, and we'll go ahead and start with Eric.
I thought you told me to get 107:8.
Oh, I didn't know you were there. I didn't hear you say you'd get it. Okay, you can get that one, and I'll get Brett. Could you get Psalms 28:7?
28:7?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And Paul has 107:8. So, Eric, could you start with Hebrews?
Hebrews 13:1, continue to love each other with true Christian love. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Don't forget about those in prison. Suffer with them as though you were there yourself. Share your sorrow of those being mistreated, and as though you feel their pain in your own bodies.
Amen.
Amen.
And James, could you read the next one, Psalms 22:3?
Yeah, I'll start at verse 1. My God, why have you deserted me? Why do you seem to be so far away when I need you to save me? Why do you seem to be so far away that you can't hear my groans? My God, I cry out in the daytime, but you don't answer. I cry out at night. I can't keep quiet. But you rule from your throne as the Holy One. You are the God of Israel. You are the God Israel praises. Our people of long ago put their trust in you. They trusted in you, and you saved them. They cried out to you and you saved them. They trusted in you and you didn't let them down.
Amen.
Amen.
So these are the reasons why we praise God for what God has done so far. We're talking about, for people, rulers that as Eric was saying, you know, he's a servant. He says, if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He's God's servant. So when God protects us, when God watches over us, when God protects and is looking out for his own, when he says everyone must submit himself to governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. You know, and then James' scripture that tells us that that's the reason why we praise and celebrate God for what God has done for us. So
amen.
The different things occur, we have to find an understanding that God feels out of relationship, we respond in praise.
Amen.
But do we do that, you know? Do we respond in praise?
Well, this is James. I just wanted to make a comment on verse 1 there, Psalm 22, where it says, why have you deserted me? Why do you seem to be so far away when I need you to save me? Before he goes into the fact that God delivered Israel and he's the God of Israel and he made a way for the people and they trusted in him. Because we get to the point that sometimes we feel like God is far away and distant. And sometimes we feel like God doesn't hear us. And I know David felt that way a lot of the time. But David still trusted in God. So it's a test of our faith sometimes when we don't get a response right away or we don't get a response when we want it. And it seems like God is far from us. But if you just hold on for a little while, you'll find out that God is not far from you. And I think that's the kind of the message we were getting here from Psalm 22, 1 through 5.
Right.
But there may be somebody out there today that feels like God is far away and God's not hearing you. But God does hear you and God knows everything about you. The hairs on your head are numbered by God. God knows everything about you. Just want to encourage you to keep on holding on to God's hand, and you will hear from God.
Amen.
Amen. Can we read the next scripture? Psalms 107, 8.
I'm going to go from 8 to 15. All good men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sonder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We ought to praise God.
Amen.
Because God is who he is. And he allows things to happen to us when we don't listen to him. But he never goes anywhere. Because even when you go to the shadow of death, when you praise God, he brings you back up. He says, I'm here. I'm right here. I ain't going nowhere. I was just waiting on you. So if we praise God, though, from the beginning and continue to praise him, you ain't got to go to them places. But even if we end up in them places and praise God, he'll bring us up out of it. He also says, when we do end up in those places, the only way out is praise, basically, is what he's saying. He said, because there's none to help you. And then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. Praise
Amen.
Your way out.
Amen. Amen. Brett?
Okay. Psalms 28:7. I'm going to start at the 6, but I really feel like we need to go back to the first. But for people to understand, we've been hearing from everybody talking about what it feels like when you pray to God and you don't think God hears you, but when he does hear, I'm going to start at the 6 and read the 7. It says, praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. You can't help but rejoice when you know God hears you. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. When God answers your prayer after a long time, you don't think that he's heard you, and when he shows you that he heard you, oh yeah, you can't do nothing but praise him. You have to give him the praise.
Amen. 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 Hey, this is amen. Eric. Let me also add this one. This is Psalms 108, which I think is telling. My heart is confident in you, O God. No wonder I can sing your praises.
Amen.
My heart is confident in you, O God.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder I can sing your praises. And that's pretty telling that you've got to have a heart that is confident that the Lord is who the Lord says that the Lord is, and the Lord will do all the things that he has promised us that he would do. And you've got to believe that and know that that's true. And there are times, I dare say, that we get into situations that we need to just stand still and know that the Lord is the Lord, but we get, like the children of Israel, we get anxious. Oh, you've been gone 40 days, make us a God who led us out of Egypt. Or the Lord tells us, stand and be still, and we'll, no, you're taking too long, I'm going to go do X. That's how a lot of us end up with the wrong mates, because we won't be still.
Well,
my heart is confident in you, O God. No wonder I can sing your praises.
Amen.
You know, sometimes it's funny. You know, I was looking at Hebrews 13, and I kept saying, oh, that's not the right verse. It was 11. But I'm sitting here looking at this, and, you know, part of what we have to understand is we praise God for what God does. See, I was thinking, you know, as a child, I used to get upset with my parents when they would ask me to do certain things. And that's kind of like what the Decalogue is. It gives us our moral compass and direction in which we're supposed to go. And frankly, if we don't have the direction in our lives that we need, then we fall astray. And we go the wrong direction. We go the wrong way. And so sometimes we need to praise God for the direction that we get in our lives. We need to praise God sometimes when we get challenged in areas that we don't want to be challenged. We need to praise God when we have things that mold us and move us a way that we don't often want to go. And I'm thinking about myself, because it's in that challenge that we're stretched and we're moved and we're pushed and we're molded to be more like God. And when we get that, what does Paul say? I praise him in the good times and in the bad. He praises God at all times, right?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. He says he's always praising God, right? No matter what his situation and circumstance, he's learned to praise God in all things. Anybody talk to Paul before? Right? Amen?
Well, even James said, count it all joy. When you fall into diverse places, different situations, count it all joy, because the Lord has an opportunity to work.
Amen.
Absolutely. And Eric, you were talking about faith. So Hebrews 11, the whole chapter, talks about faith. It talks about how we can't please God without faith. It talks about the fact that we learn here that praise is an expression of our faith. When we look into it, it talks about the whole starting of verses 1, where it says the fundamental facts of existence is that this trust is in God. This faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguishes our ancestors, to set them above the crowd. By faith, we see the world called in existence by God's word, what we see created by what we don't see. So it's by faith that we do what we do, and when God leads and directs us, that gives us the strength and the excitement of praising him, because stuff happens. And we don't know that it's going to happen. We don't know we're going to bless. We don't know what direction we're going to go sometimes, but God leads us through it. I mean, it's our walk and our journey that we have every day, every morning when we sit down, Eric, and we have quiet time. We don't know what the results are going to be, if we're going to get to the corner and we're going to be killed or something's going to happen. But it's by faith that we trust God with everything we have. Whether it's every scripture is talking about something. It's talking about praising God and humbling ourselves and making sure that whatever happens, that we're giving God credit and due for what God has done for us and the relationship we've had. But it's that faith that undergirds it, which gives us the impetus for even to want to praise.
Amen.
Amen.
So let's read the next scripture.
I was just going to share Hebrews 11:6, and you talked about Hebrews, and to what Eric was saying earlier, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that gets to what Eric was saying, I think what some other people were saying earlier. We have to believe that God is, and that's the faith you were talking about, and that God is going to reward us if we seek him. And,
amen.
Amen.
And we need to do that. Amen.
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 Does anyone else have another one? I have Psalms 100. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pastures. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. What does that mean?
Amen.
What does that mean? Anybody? Cassandra, what does that mean to you?
Have faith in the Lord and He'll do wonders for you, and just
Amen.
Trust in him. And that song, when you said endures, it's a song, a gospel song that says endures in him forever. And that reminded me of when you said that. It's like, okay.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. Let's look at, as we're getting ready to close, Mark 5. Can I get somebody to turn to Mark, the 5th chapter, the 19th verse? This is talking about, go ahead, and I'm going to let somebody read the context. Mark, the 5th chapter. I'll get it if you don't beat me to it.
I've got it.
This Mark, is for, the, nope.
Okay.
Go ahead. Okay, Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you.
Amen.
And know he has had mercy on you. So he's letting this person know that he needs to go home and tell people. That means you got to praise him. You got to tell how good God treated you.
Okay, so our faith and testimony have to go beyond where? Got to go beyond church.
There you go.
It's got to go beyond Bible study. It's got to go, where does it need to go? What is it saying to you?
Tell everybody in the world how good God is.
Amen.
That's what I'm thinking.
Amen.
That's what I'm thinking.
Amen.
Tell other than
in
church.
In our daily context.
Absolutely. Amen.
This was the man that was filled with demons. This was the demon-possessed man. So Jesus cast out the demons. Then he told him to go and tell folks.
Amen.
Is there a reason why we don't tell God the stuff that has happened to us? Brother Eric, I'm asking you. Is there a reason why we got to always appear to be perfect in other folks' eyesight that we won't say nothing to nobody else? I know you don't do that, do you?
No, I don't, but we do that because we are ashamed, literally, because we think of what people are going to say. and how
right.
we may be mocked.
They just
and so we try to hide that fear.
Mm-hmm.
And not just saying anything, not saying that, you know, the Lord woke me up this morning or the Lord
right.
helped me to have enough money to meet my month. The Lord blessed me to be able to get this job and to keep this job. The Lord blessed me
Amen.
To be clothed in my right mind this day. You know,
Amen.
The Lord blessed me to have control of my faculties because I know I could be under a bridge or waking up this morning not knowing who
right.
I am or where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't, you know, we don't want to talk about that because we don't want the rest of the world to know that we serve God. And
right.
there's going to be a cost to that because Christ clearly said, if you
there
deny
you
me in front of man, I'm going to deny you in
Amen.
Front of my Father.
There you go.
Amen.
Amen.
This is Brett. You know, I think a lot of the fear comes from the fact that a lot of people think they will be that they'll be made fun of simply because they talk about how God has made them. And mm-hmm. so you got people out here that are walking or some that have different walks when it comes to their faith. And so, well, all of us are not on the same page. And then there are some who know who God is and his goodness. However, they deny him because they want to take a different path. And their life is not the best that it can be. So therefore, they'll make jokes and they'll mock a person. And I'm sure you've seen it on Facebook, people talking about, how can preachers do this and that and first one thing and another and have all this money and et cetera, because they just don't know.
Right.
Because when you're a child of God, God will give you gifts. He doesn't
Amen.
Want you to be poor. And a lot of people
Amen.
Are under the impression that you got to be poor, that you have to give all your money and you can't do this and you can't do that. But that's not what God says. He says he wants the goodness of you.
Amen.
He wants to be
Amen.
Able to give to you. He wants you to live and prosper.
Amen.
Somebody asked me something not too long ago, and I made this statement. I said, when Jesus had his talk with his Father, God, God told Jesus, whatever you allow on this earth, it'll be that way in heaven.
Amen.
So the thing is that when we die to heaven, heaven is not paved with streaks of gold and stuff. What you have here, you're going to have in heaven. But you just don't have to work for it. You don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, Brett, this is Eric Group, and you're absolutely right. So when you get a chance, read Matthew 6:25-34. Because what that says is that seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all those other
right.
things that you have need of, I'll add those. I already know you have need of them.
Right.
So seek me first. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. But we can't get to the seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We seek ye first
Amen.
Our own righteousness. And our own of what I can do in my own strength, what I
Amen.
Can gather in my own knowledge and with my hands. But if God doesn't give you the breath to do it, your hands don't create anything.
There
your
you
mind
go.
Conjures up nothing.
There you go.
So what I'm hearing everybody say is it's wonderful to praise God, but the key thing is God was saying is that these people that I have formed for myself, that's a key right there, formed for myself, meaning that we have to be in relationship with God, which we've talked about, and the only way we can have that relationship is to actually be in prayer and supplication and studying God's
Amen.
Word and petitioning God and talking to God and building that relationship with God. And I think we say this almost somewhere every week, that we have to study to show ourselves approved. We have to. You know,
Amen.
And David tells us all the time in Psalms 119:67, it's good for me that I've been afflicted that I might learn thy statutes. Not good to me, somebody, but good for me. Because, see, our affliction teaches us how to pray, teaches us how to praise, teaches us how to believe, teaches us how to wait on God, teaches us how to get closer to God, teaches us how to be more determined, more loving. And when we go through stuff, sometimes it helps our praise get a little deeper.
Amen.
Our spirit gets a little pure. Our faith gets a little bit stronger. Our hope gets a little bit brighter. Somebody know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
When we
at
that point, just understanding that.
Amen.
And then we want to say hallelujah, because then we have that relationship. We have that understanding that we've built on a daily basis of talking and walking with God. And somebody, I don't know who it was on the Bible study, said tonight, is that God will give us the smallest things that we can have praise about. We don't have to just praise God for the great big things, but we can praise and be excited about the small things that God does in our lives. Because
yeah,
there are multiple reasons that we have for praising God. We praise God because he's humbled us, because he's lifted us, because he's saved us, because he's provided for us, because he's protected us. Mm. All the reasons we've read about, because we have a faith that shows us who we are in him and who he is in us. You know, those are the
Amen.
Reasons why we praise God. And so we leave tonight
Amen.
Understanding that the scripture says in Isaiah 43:21, this people I have formed for myself that they may proclaim my praise. See, we just have to go for it. Revelation 3:15 says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold or hot. And it says, I would that thou were cold or hot. So God wants us to be hot for God. God wants us to praise God.
Amen.
God wants us to be in the middle. God wants us to choose, to desire, to be on fire for God. God wants us
Come
to
on.
Have love him, that chose that he's chosen to praise him all the time. Does anybody
Come
understand
on.
When it says don't be cold, don't be indifferent, don't be lifeless? I mean, how can we go through a day and know who God is and that God actually was the one that woke us up in the morning? See, I
Amen.
Had an embolism in 2019 where the blood clot went through my heart and then lodged in my lungs. So when I wake up in the morning, I don't know about nobody else, but I'm praising.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
When you go to something, when God has, my grandma would say, linked you something, then that connects you in such a way that there's an awe of reverence and praise and glorifying and hallelujah, thanking God, you know, that you can't get if you've never experienced anything, if he's never taught you anything, if he's never walked with you, if you've never talked with him.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, I just want
there you
to
go.
Take a quick second, everybody on here who's willing, tell me something that we can you praise God for.
Everything, waking me up in the morning.
There you go.
Making me feel better. No, don't feel good. I mean, don't feel sick. Just feeling good. Everything. Blessings for my life, my job, everything. I thank them all.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Awesome, Cassandra. Who's next? Who's going? Can somebody else share what they want to what they praise God for? Dr. Nook, Eric.
This is Eric. I praise him for the relationship that I have with him, because I hadn't always had this relationship. And I
Amen.
Praise God for not giving up on me and having me
Amen.
Dead and burning in hell, that I could enjoy this relationship that I have this day.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Praise God.
This is correct. Well, I praise it.
Go ahead, Brett.
Go ahead, Dr. Nuss. Go ahead, Brett.
I was just going to.
Okay. Go ahead, Dr. Nuss.
Okay. Let me do it. Go ahead, Brett. Go ahead, Brett.
Okay.
Let Brett go ahead, Dr.
I praise,
and we won't
contest. I praise God every morning when I get up. And the thing that a lot of people don't understand, when you lay down at night, nothing is guaranteed to say that you're going to get up in the morning. But one of the But one of the good things about us, because God made us in his image, he made us for his pleasure. And here we are with our intelligence and everything, and we're trying to produce artificial life. That's something man cannot do, is create another man, except through marriage and if you have a baby. But that's God doing that. The thing is, we don't have to be plugged into an outlet to be recharged so that we can go for another 8 hours. God has fixed our bodies to the point where what we do every day, what we eat, what he gave us to eat on this earth when he made it, way back in Genesis, is enough to sustain us throughout our lives. And I praise him because, hey, I've been in war. I didn't think I was going to make it past the age of 35. But I have lived to be 70. And if God continues to bless me, March 27th would be 71 years. And I thank God for that. And so I give him praise all the time. And as everybody was talking earlier, the song came to my mind, "Let the Church Say Amen." If you know that song, that has a lot of meaning. And that is something that I think we all need to understand and get in our hearts. There's certain things that God has put down for us. And if you are a believer, if you're looking to walk a different path, if you want your life to change, if you want to get off drugs, you want to quit drinking, you want to quit arguing with your wife or your spouse or whoever, and you want to have a better life, you got to make that change. It is in you to make that change. And God gave us the tool.
Amen.
This Bible study is a tool for that.
Amen. Brother Nooks.
Well, I praise God for all the things that everybody is saying. I also praise God for God's presence, his presence in my life. And that means a lot. It helps me to go through situations that are difficult, realizing that God is with me. So I'm grateful for everything. I mean, when I turn the light switch on and the lights come on, or turn the water faucet
on,
the water runs, I'm praising God for the green grass and the air that I breathe. And the, I mean, of so many things, but that presence means so much to me.
Amen. Amen. Jamie, did you want to share praise of God from anything? For anything? Anybody else? All right. Nobody else wants to say anything of praising God for what God has done? We will go on. Dr. Nooks, if you would close us with prayer. And we will, next week, Brother Eric will be leading us in the Bible study for the month of, what's the next month? February. Yeah, I said February.
Okay. Are there any prayer requests or praise and
I have a prayer request. I ask for prayer for our country. I pray for my Muslim family as they are being challenged. I pray for the, I think it's the ACLU that's challenging the things that are seeming improper in our country. I ask for prayer for my place of work. I ask for job opportunities, and I ask for health for my family. I ask for health for everybody on the line and finances and spiritual health. Anybody else? I try to cover most of it.
The Lender family, Lester family. Not Lester family.
Okay.
Yeah, Lender family. I said Lester, so. What is it? The Kennebrew family. Just Lender, the Lender family. Prayer.
Amen.
Just
I would ask a prayer as well for Mark Bryant. Lift up, excuse me, Brett, if we could lift up Mark. Mark has been in the hospital lately. Mark and his family, Lester and his family.
Okay.
And Sean. Go ahead, Brett, I'm through.
I just want to thank everybody for their prayers, and I woke up about 4 a.m. Last week with severe pains in my chest from back to front. Went to VA, found out that I must have pulled a muscle in my sleep, but they gave me some pain pills, and it's healing up, and I'm doing okay, so I thank God for that. But
I just want to let you know we all prayed on the line for you.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. I think we need to really lift this country up and ask God to bless us, because we're going to need more prayers going out for God to heal this nation and to calm down this trumpet guy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All righty. Anybody else?
Well, God.
All right. Dr. Nelson.
God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your patience and your kindness, and for loving us even when we haven't been very lovable. And God, we praise you for all that you are and all that you've done and all that you continue to do and all that you will do. And it's just a blessing to be your children. And God, we ask you to bless this Bible study, and we ask you to bless our country. I have seen many people and heard from many people that are just afraid and they're concerned, and many people have been driven to their knees. And God, we just lift up our country to you, asking you to bless it and help people that are in authority to understand that you are the authority. And so we pray for those that are not able to get in the country, that have green cards. We pray for Muslims that are being persecuted. We pray for the ACLU that's fighting for people, for justice. We pray for jobs and opportunities. We pray for health, and we pray for finances. We pray for the Linder family and the Lester family and the Kennebrew family. And we give special thanks, God, for what you're doing in Brett's life and how you bought him through surgeries and how you bought him through the pain that was in his chest. We lift up Mark Bryan and his family, Lester and his family, and Sean and her family, and all those that are on the line. God, we realize that you are an awesome God, and you care for your people.
Amen.
And we seek that care. We seek that comfort, and we seek guidance from the Holy Spirit. Help us, God, to lift you up in all situations, that the world might see that Jesus is the answer for the world today, and that God, the world might see you through us. God, it's a rare opportunity and a privilege to be your child. Help us to be worthy of our calling. Lord, we love you, and we know you love us even beyond our understanding. Help those that may be on the line that are struggling right now about their faith, that you might help them grow in their faith. And somebody may be deciding to make a decision for Christ, and we pray that you would touch them tonight. And we give this Bible study over to you, and we give our leader over to you, Dr. Susie, asking you to bless her in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.